that the Reverend Bill Peacock is a Moravian missionary who has lived on the coast of Labrador for 26 years. Mr. Peacock comes from Bristol in England. He attended Manchester University, and he was ordained as a minister just 26 years ago in the month of September. Mr. Peacock, have you spent most of the time since you're being ordained on this coast?
The whole of my ministry has been spent in Labrador among the Eskimos, mostly, until I came here in 1957, that is in Happy Valley, and I've worked among Eskimos and settlers here. Settlers being the people who came out from England and other parts of Europe to settle on the coast of Labrador. Many of them married Eskimo wives, and most of them have some Eskimo blood.
You have done a lot of work on the Eskimo language itself, I believe, and I have heard that you are compiling an Eskimo dictionary. Now, this must be a tremendous task.
Well, yes, I suppose I have worked a great deal on the Eskimo language. In order to work among the Eskimos, it's necessary to know their language, of course, and the first job of a missionary is to try to discover something about the language, at any rate. I remember quite well preaching my first sermon in Eskimo. It was rather amusing. I made some terrible mistakes. And on this occasion, I tried to give an illustration of a man walking in the dark, and I said instead of he walked in the dark, he walked in a kidney, and this was due to not lengthening a vowel. And it's possible to make mistakes very easily in this way. And as for compiling a dictionary, I have been trying to do this over a number of years. I don't know whether it will ever be finished, but, well, one lives in hopes.
This is a most rich language, isn't it, the Eskimo language?
Oh, yes, very rich. Many people seem to think that because the Eskimos have few possessions, that they don't have very many words in the language, but the language is full of expressions which we can't just translate into English. For example, they have 20 different words for snow, more than 20. I don't remember them all, but at least 20. Anyhow.
Is this to describe different conditions of snow?
Yes, that's right. You see, the snow is very important in the Eskimo economy, as you will well understand. And to describe snow which is fallen and falling, and snow which is good for building a snow house, they use a separate word. And use a separate word because they have so very few adjectives in the language.
Are they a philosophic people, in as much as they're reflective people?
Yes, I think they are. They are in some ways fatalistic. Their favourite expression is ayornamet. It just can't be helped. And they think a great deal. They wonder about the world.
They have this tremendous concept of royalty and loyalty to the Queen.
Oh yes, the Queen is well, still the Great White Mother. And I think you will discover that in almost every Eskimo home there is a picture of the Queen, and many of them on occasion write to the Queen, and the amazing thing is that they always get an answer.
That's royal courtesy.
Yes, I expect so.
Now, you've also written a book on some psychological aspects of the impact of the white man upon the Labrador Eskimo.
Well, it's not exhaustive, the work. It took me a long time to collect the material, nearly 12 years, and I presented it as a thesis for an MA at Montreal University, and I try to show how the white man has affected the Eskimo, and I think the effect on the whole has been a good one. We often hear people say that the white man has done a lot of damage to native peoples, but he's also done some good, I think. Mm.
It is inevitable, isn't it, this impact?
Yes. My own feeling as far as Labrador is concerned is that the Eskimos will have to be more or less integrated into the white race if they're to earn their livings, and if they're not to just remain as museum specimens. I think in this country we have made quite a mistake with the Indians. We have given the Indians handouts, and we have turned them into loafers, and I think it's the wrong attitude to adopt towards these people. I think they should be encouraged to earn their own living, and if that means making them into white men, well, that's all that has to be done.
You have had contact with both Indian people and Eskimo people. Now, do you think that the Eskimo is more independent by virtue of his own character, or because virtue of his circumstances?
Well, that's rather difficult. I think that the Eskimo is really more independent than the Indian, but you have to remember that the Eskimos on this coast have had the benefit of Moravian missions for the past 190 years, whereas the Indians have only had the benefit of the Oblate Fathers for the past 20 years. And I think this has made a great deal of difference. But unfortunately, I do feel the government has adopted the wrong policy towards the Indians. I feel that they should endeavour to put them in the way of earning a living for themselves, as they have done with the Eskimos.
I suppose education is the answer to this, and give them a chance of being able to compete.
Yes, I think that is the answer. I know that when I came to the coast, most of the Eskimos would reach about grade 4 in the schools. Today we have Eskimos sitting their grade 11 state examinations, which is a tremendous improvement. Now, the Indians, there is the language barrier. They have not been taught English as much as the Eskimo have. And I think in this way we have hindered the mental growth of the Indians, if it can be put that way.
How many schools have the Moravian missionaries established on the Labrador coast?
Now, this makes a very long story, I'm afraid. Right from the beginning, when the Moravian missionaries came to the coast of Labrador, they started trying to teach their charges to read and to write. And in effect, they accomplished this. They taught them to read and write in their own language. And then they established what in England we would call dame schools. We don't call them that anymore, I suppose. People have forgotten what dame schools were. But the Eskimos would come into the mission house, and the missionary's wife or the missionary would devote some time each day to teaching these children. And then later on, schools were established for 1 week in the year. These were evening classes during the season of Holy Week, and all the Eskimos came onto the stations for Holy Week, and then in the evenings they would go to school. Then later on, schools for 6 or 7 weeks during the winter, and then around 1918, I think it must have been, regular schools were established, a boarding school at Makovic, and day schools at Nain and Hopedale, and then later a boarding school at Nain. And then in 1954, the government began to take more interest in the education of the Eskimo and subsidized the Moravian work, and finally took over the schools from the Moravians, although we still supply the teachers. And in this way, we have been able to raise the educational standard. But I think that one can't stress too much the help that the government has given in this direction.
Now, do you think that the Anglicans did a great service or not in teaching them this syllabic shorthand language?
Well, far be it from me to criticise my Anglican brethren, but I feel it was a mistake. We have used the Roman characters on the coast of Labrador ever since the mission has been here. Indeed, when the mission came here in the year 1771, when we were established here, the missionaries brought with them a Bible in the, or a New Testament rather, in the Greenlandic Eskimo. You see, our missionaries had worked in Greenland from the year 1734, and they brought the Bible, the New Testament, in the Greenlandic language, which was written in with Roman characters, and we have continued to use Roman characters. And now I believe the trend is to change over to the Roman characters in the north, which is going to be rather difficult for some of the Eskimos. And the Moravians have been very great workers in the field of translation. We have the whole of the Bible in the Eskimo language, and from time to time we send copies of our translations into the Arctic to various missionaries working for the Anglican Church. I do feel that it wasn't a great service to use the syllabics, which were invented by an Anglican clergyman. I feel they would have done much better to have used the Roman characters.
Do you have any other sort of literature apart from the Bible written in the Eskimo language? I believe there was something about a newspaper once, is that right?
Yes, Mr. Max Budgell, whom you know, and myself, we got together and the government gave us a duplicating machine and we produced a newspaper, a weekly newspaper, and Max, he wrote quite a lot of the articles trying to explain the economics of fishing to them. I did all the translation. Max doesn't speak Eskimo. And we encouraged the Eskimos also to contribute and to write little articles and write letters and to tell how they felt about certain things. And, of course, I did some of the writing too, but we produced this newspaper for 5 years, and I think we did a good job.
This was the first Eskimo newspaper?
No, it wasn't the first. I have here in my study a newspaper which was produced yearly by the Moravian Mission, dated 1915. And in this paper there is an account of the war in Europe and an account of the meeting of the Moravian Church Synod. So it wasn't the first. I believe in 2 years ago in Time it was stated the first Eskimo newspaper had been produced in the north. Well, Max Budgell and I predated that by some years, and the Moravians predated that by some 40-odd years.
Mm. At least yours was the first weekly.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Did the concept of war mean anything to Eskimos?
Oh, yes. They have a word for it, and they are very interested in war. Now, during the war years, each week I produced a sheet. This was before the newspaper days. I produced a sheet with the news on it for several interested Eskimos. And one old man who is still living, he's 84 years of age in Nain, used to gather all the Eskimos in his house and read the weekly news to them in the Eskimo language. Then in 1950, I established a small radio station at Nain, and I used to broadcast the news to them in Eskimo there. And of course, you bump up against all sorts of difficulties in translating for newspaper work or radio work, because there are many words in the Eskimo language which, in the English language, which have no equivalent in the Eskimo language. And so you get the word communist. Well, there's no word for communist in the Eskimo language, so we just use the word communistit to signify the communists. And now, among the Eskimos in Nain, one of the worst things you can call a fellow Eskimo is a communist dialogue, a horrible old communist.
Well, horrible communisticos apart, what do you think of the Eskimo personality as you've observed it?
Well, on the whole, I think they adjust very easily, and they are a pleasant people. They are outgoing people. I've forgotten the word I want. Extrovert. They're not. They're very extrovert, I think. And they're fun-loving people. They have a great love of company. They like to get together and dance and play games together. They a pleasing personality, I would say. And of course, the Eskimo children are the most lovable children in the world, as you yourself know.
Thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure.